Welcome to the deep dive. We love to explore the really cool stuff, and today we're taking a deep dive into something called active element machines. Get ready because we're about to bend our brains a bit.
I have a feeling this is going to be a fun one.
You already know I love anything that challenges how I think about the world. And based on your notes, this is not your average computer. We're talking a whole new way of approaching computation itself. And get this, it's inspired by the human brain.
That's right. We'll be looking at a paper by Michael Fisk that introduces the active element machine, or AEM for short, and its unique programming language. The core concept here is rooted in the work of neurophysiologist Wilfried Rahl, particularly his research on how dendrites process information in neurons.
Okay. For those of us who haven't brushed up on our neurobiology lately, could you remind us what dendrites are and why they're so important? It's been a while for me.
Of course. Dendrites are these branch-like structures that extend from the cell body of a neuron. They act like tiny antennas, picking up signals from other neurons. What's fascinating is that these dendrites don't just passively transmit signals. They actually process information in a complex way. Rahl's research was groundbreaking because it showed that this dendritic integration is a key part of how the brain computes.
So, if I'm understanding this correctly, the AEM is trying to mimic that process of dendritic integration to create a new kind of computer.
Exactly. And it does so in a way that's radically different from traditional computers. For instance, one of the core principles of AEMs is that all the basic computing units, called active elements, work in parallel. This is a huge departure from the sequential way that our current computers operate.
Whoa, that's already making my head spin a bit. And from what I've read, AEMs might even be able to tackle some seriously tough computational problems, the kind that would take traditional computers ages to solve. We're talking about things like NP-hard problems, right?
Yes. It's incredible to consider how the inherent parallelism of AEMs could give them a real edge in solving problems that are incredibly complex for traditional computers.
Okay. You've definitely piqued my curiosity. Let's dive into the specifics of AEMs and see how they work this computational magic. Maybe we can start with a way to visualize the difference between AEMs and those traditional computers we're all used to.
Absolutely. A good analogy is to think of a traditional computer, what we call a register machine, as a single-lane highway. Cars on this highway represent the instructions that the computer has to process, and they have to move one after the other. It's a very sequential process.
Okay. I can picture that. So how do AEMs fit into this highway analogy?
Imagine a multi-lane highway where cars can travel side by side. That's more like an AEM, where many operations can happen simultaneously. It's all about parallel processing.
That makes sense, especially with the whole brain inspiration thing. But a highway is just a bunch of asphalt. How does this parallel processing actually work in the AEM's architecture? What are the building blocks?
Good question. The fundamental components of an AEM are these active elements we've been talking about. There are three main types: input elements, computational elements, and output elements. They all work together by sending pulses to each other.
Pulses? Is that like little bursts of information?
Precisely. Each pulse carries a bit of information. Now, every computational and output active element has a specific threshold, kind of like a trigger point. If the sum of the pulses it receives at any given moment exceeds that threshold, it fires and sends out its own pulses to other elements.
Okay, so we have this whole network of elements constantly sending and receiving these pulses. And the pattern of firing represents the computation? That is pretty wild. But what determines when an element fires? Is it just random?
Not at all. It's all about timing, which is another key difference between AEMs and traditional computers. Every single command in an AEM program has an explicit reference to time.
Hold. You're saying that it's not just about the order of instructions, but also about the precise timing of those instructions.
You got it. In the AEM programming language, we even have special keywords like clock and DT to represent time. The clock keeps track of the AEM's internal time, while DT represents a tiny, infinitesimal unit of time. These are crucial for ensuring that everything happens in the correct order, even when multiple commands try to update the same element simultaneously.
Okay. I'm definitely starting to see how this time element adds a whole new level of complexity compared to the computers we're used to. It's almost like these pulses are doing a carefully choreographed dance.
That's a great way to put it. It's this dynamic, time-dependent nature that makes AEM so unique and potentially so powerful. And to really grasp this, it helps to see a concrete example. Fisk provides one in his paper called Example 1, Overlapping Pulses with Different Firing Times.
That sounds a little intimidating. Can you walk me through it?
Certainly. Imagine three input elements. Let's call them X, Y, and Z, all sending pulses to a single computational element called B. Now, Each of these pulses has a different amplitude, width, and transmission time. The key is that computational element B only fires if the total input it receives from X, Y, and Z exceeds its threshold at a given moment.
So the timing of those pulses really matters. What happens if the pulses from X, Y, and Z don't arrive at the same time?
That's where it gets interesting. If the pulses arrive at slightly different times, they might not add up to B's threshold, and nothing happens. But if they overlap just right, they combine their strength, B's threshold is exceeded, and boom, B fires, sending out its own pulse.
Ah, so it's this delicate interplay of timing and pulse strength that determines how the computation unfolds. It's like a chain reaction where each step depends on the precise timing of the previous step.
Exactly. And this time-dependent behavior is something we don't see in traditional computers, where everything happens in a rigid, step-by-step fashion.
Yeah.
But this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the unique features of AEMs.
Okay. I'm officially intrigued, but I have to admit, my brain could use a little processing time. We've covered the basic building blocks and how these elements communicate with those precisely timed pulses. But how do you actually tell an AEM what to do? I mean, how do you program a machine that works like this? Is there like a special AEM coding language or something?
There is. Fisk actually introduces an entire programming language specifically designed for AEMs. It has five main command types: element, connection, fire, program, and get this.
Meta. Wait a minute. Are we talking like metacognition? Are we giving these machines the ability to think about their own thinking?
Not quite.
Now you have to tell me more. But before we get lost in the meta world, maybe we should take a step back and look at those other command types first. You mentioned program. Does that mean we can create entire programs within this AEM language, just like we do with traditional computers? Mm. And if so, what can these programs actually do?
You're asking all the right questions. Mm. Yes, we can create programs. And those programs can do some remarkable things. Let's look at a couple examples to illustrate this. Fisk provides programs for basic operations like copy and NAND.
Okay, hold on. Copy and NAND. Those terms ring a bell from, like, computer science 101. Aren't those related to logic gates and the way traditional computers process information at a very fundamental level?
Exactly. They're the building blocks of computation in our current computers. And what's fascinating here is how these very familiar concepts from traditional computer science can be implemented in the AEM world, even though it's a completely different computational model.
All right, I'm all ears. Let's start with copy. How does a program copy information in the AEM world? We're not talking Serial plus C and Serial plus V, right?
No, nothing like that. Imagine you have two active elements. Let's call them A and B. The copy program in an AEM sets up the connections and timing so that element A fires. Mm. Then element B starts firing too. And here's the key. B keeps firing even after A stops.
So it's like B is mirroring A's state, creating a copy of the information.
Precisely. Now, the NAND program is a bit more complex, but it essentially demonstrates how you can build a NOT and logic gate using these active elements.
Oh, right. NAND gates. I vaguely remember those from my computer science classes, but I could use a quick refresher on how they work.
Of course. A NAND gate takes two inputs. If both of those inputs are true, or in the AEM world, if both of the corresponding active elements are firing, then the output is false, meaning the output element doesn't fire. But in any other scenario, if one or both of the inputs are false, then the output is true and the output element fires.
Got it. So this NAND program sets up the thresholds and connections between elements in a way that mimics the behavior of a physical NAND gate, even though it's all based on pulses and timing.
Exactly. It's remarkable how AEMs, with their completely different underlying mechanisms, can replicate the basic logic functions of traditional computers.
Yeah.
And this is just scratching the surface of what they can do.
All right. You've definitely sold me on the versatility of this computational model. It's fascinating how we can go from pulses and thresholds to replicating the logic of traditional computers. But the paper hints at AEMs being capable of even more than just basic logic gates. You mentioned the paper discusses representing numbers and even recognizing entire languages using AEMs. That seems like a huge leap. How is that even possible?
It is a big leap, and it's where the meta command really starts to shine. It's
yes.
One of the things that sets AEMs apart from anything we've seen before in computing.
Okay, now you have to tell me more about this meta command. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take it one step at a time. How can an AEM possibly represent something as abstract as a number?
Think back to that multi-lane highway analogy we talked about earlier. AEMs leverage their parallel processing capability to construct a representation of a real number between 0 and 1. It's a clever use of their structure and the way information flows through the network of active elements.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that. How can a bunch of pulses and thresholds represent something as precise as a number? It seems like we're dealing with two completely different worlds.
It might seem that way, but the solution is remarkably elegant. The paper suggests using a random bit source from the environment as a starting point. Think of it like flipping a coin for each digit in a binary number. Heads, it's a 1. Tails, it's a 0.
Okay, so we're using randomness to generate a string of 1s and 0s, kind of like a binary representation of a number. But how does that actually get inside the AEM? How does it become a number that the machine can work with?
That's where the meta command enters the picture.
Yeah.
It allows the AEM program to essentially create a new active element for each digit in that random binary string. And here's the key. If the digit is a 1, that new element is set up to constantly fire. But if the digit is a 0, the corresponding element is set to never fire.
Hold on. So you're telling me that the pattern of firing and non-firing elements within the AEM literally represents the binary number? That's like encoding the number directly into the machine's structure?
Yeah,
precisely. It's a fascinating example of how AEMs blur the lines between analog and digital computation.
This is incredible. We've gone from simple pulses to representing entire numbers within the structure of the AEM itself. But you also mentioned that AEMs could potentially recognize languages. How is that even remotely possible? What does it mean for a machine to recognize a language?
Think of a language as a set of rules that dictate which strings of symbols are allowed and which are not. In the context of AEMs, we're specifically talking about binary languages, where our symbols are just zeros and ones.
Okay, so like a rule could be something like all binary strings that have an even number of ones.
Exactly. The paper shows how you can build an AEM that can take any binary string as input and determine whether it follows the rules of a particular language. It's like asking the AEM, does this string belong to the club? And the AEM can give you a yes or no answer based on the rules of that language.
That's pretty mind-blowing. But wouldn't you need a different AEM program for every single language you want to recognize? It seems like you have to pre-program all those rules into the machine.
That's how it would work with traditional computers. But remember, AEMs have that special meta command that lets them modify their own program while they're running.
Right. So it's not about pre-programming all possible rules, but rather about giving the AEM the tools to construct and apply those rules on the fly. But I still don't get how that actually works in practice. How does an AEM learn the rules of a language?
It's a multi-step process.
Yeah.
But here's the gist. First, the AEM uses that same random bit source we talked about earlier to generate a series of random numbers. These numbers essentially encode the rules of a specific language.
It's using randomness to create order. That's pretty wild.
Then it. The AEM uses those random numbers, along with the meta command, to create a series of what are called registers.
Registers. What are those, and how do they fit into all of this?
Think of registers as the AEM short-term memory. They're groups of active elements that can store information, in this case. They store both the rules of the language we want to recognize and the specific binary string we want to test.
Ah. Oh. So it's like loading both the rulebook and the test subject into the AEM's memory. What happens next? How does it actually determine if the string belongs to the language or not?
The AEM then goes through a series of steps, reading information from the registers, performing calculations based on the language rules, and updating the registers. This entire process is guided by those randomly generated numbers that encode the rules and the powerful meta command, which allows the AEM to modify its own behavior as needed. And the outcome of this whole process, the final state of those registers, tells us whether the input string is a member of the language or not.
Wow. There's a lot of complexity packed into these AEMs. It sounds like they could potentially solve problems that are just impossible for our traditional computers. And you mentioned earlier that there's even a connection to something called Ramsey numbers. Can you explain what those are and how they relate to AEMs? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're in for a treat. Ramsey numbers are a fascinating concept from the world of mathematics. Specifically, graph theory. They deal with finding patterns and order within seemingly random arrangements. Imagine you're coloring the edges of a complete graph. That's a network where every point is connected to every other point using two colors, say red and blue. A Ramsey number tells you the minimum number of points you need on that graph to guarantee that you'll always find at least one group of points, all connected to each other, where all the edges between them are the same color, either all red or all blue.
Okay. I'm trying to visualize that, but it's still a bit abstract. Could you give me a concrete example to help me grasp it?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Let's take the Ramsey number n, 342, which we know equals 6. This means that if you color the edges of a complete graph with 6 points using red and blue, no matter how you do it, you're guaranteed to find at least one triangle, a group of 3 points, where all the connecting edges are the same color.
Ah, I see. So it's about finding these little pockets of order within a seemingly random arrangement of colors. It's like finding a hidden pattern.
Exactly. And what makes Ramsey numbers so interesting is that they're incredibly difficult to calculate, even for our most powerful computers. These types of problems are classified as NP-hard, which means that as the size of the graph increases, the time it takes to calculate the Ramsey number grows exponentially. It quickly becomes an impractical task.
NP-hard. So does that mean it's impossible for computers to calculate them?
Not impossible, but it can take an unrealistic amount of time, even with supercomputers. Finding larger Ramsey numbers can take years, decades, even centuries. And that's where AEMs enter the picture. The paper actually presents an AEM program that can verify a specific Ramsey number. In this case, N3202 equals 6. It shows how AEMs might offer a new way to approach these incredibly difficult computational problems.
Wait, how can an AEM do that? It seems like you'd have to check every single possible way to color a 6-point graph. And that sounds like an astronomical number of combinations.
It is a huge number of combinations. But remember, AEMs are all about parallel processing. Instead of checking each coloring one by one, like a traditional computer would have to do, an AEM can explore many different colorings simultaneously.
So it's like it's trying out all the possible colorings in parallel, rather than one at a time. That seems like it would speed things up considerably. But how does it actually do that? Does it just randomly color the graph and see what happens?
It's more sophisticated than that. The AEM program uses active elements to represent the edges of the graph. No. It cleverly sets up the connections and thresholds between those elements so that the pattern of firing elements tells us whether a specific coloring contains a monochromatic triangle or not. It's like the AEM is asking itself, okay, if I color these edges this way, do I get a triangle with all the same color? What about this way? And it can do this for many different colorings at the same time.
Ah, that's ingenious. It's leveraging its parallel processing power to tackle a problem that would choke a traditional computer. But it sounds like this is just a small example. What's the bigger picture here? Could AEMs actually help us calculate larger, more complex Ramsey numbers that are currently beyond our reach?
That's the exciting question that researchers are exploring. While the paper focuses on a relatively simple example, it points to the potential of AEMs to revolutionize how we approach these types of problems. Imagine being able to calculate Ramsey numbers that are currently considered impossible to compute. This could have implications for fields far beyond just mathematics, things like network design, computer security, and even our understanding of the fundamental nature of complexity.
Okay. That's enough to make my head spin for a while. We've covered a lot of ground, from the basic building blocks of AEMs to their potential to solve some of the most challenging problems in computer science. But I think I need a moment to let all this information sink in. What do you say we take a quick break and come back to wrap up our AEM deep dive?
Sounds like a good plan. We'll return with some final thoughts on the potential of AEMs and where this exciting field might be headed in the future.
All right. Sounds good. See you in a bit.
See you then.
All right, I think I've managed to reboot my brain after all that talk about AEMs. We left off on the mysterious meta command and how it lets these machines do things that seem impossible for traditional computers. But before we get there, you mentioned that AEMs can represent real numbers using those random binary strings. That still feels like magic to me. How does the AEM actually use those encoded numbers to do anything useful?
That's a great question. Representing a number is just the first step. The real power comes from being able to manipulate and combine those numbers, just like we do in traditional computing. And that's where AEM's parallel processing capabilities and the meta command become essential.
So are you saying that AEMs can do math with these encoded numbers? And if so, how does that even work? We're not talking about bits and bytes here. We're talking about patterns of firing and non-firing active elements.
You're right. It's a completely different way of thinking about computation. AEMs can't crunch numbers in the traditional sense, but they can manipulate these representations of numbers through carefully designed connections and timings between active elements.
So, can you give me an example of what that might look like?
Imagine you want to add two numbers that are encoded within an AEM, each represented by a pattern of firing active elements. You could create an AEM program that uses the meta command to dynamically create new connections and adjust thresholds, essentially. You'd be rewiring the AEM on the fly based on the specific numbers you're working with.
So the actual structure of the AEM changes depending on the calculation it's performing. It's like the machine is constantly adapting and reshaping itself. That's incredible.
It is. And that ability to adapt and change is one of the key things that sets AEMs apart from traditional computers, which have a fixed architecture. But the implications of this go far beyond just doing math. Remember, we talked about AEMs potentially recognizing entire languages? That ability to represent and manipulate numbers plays a crucial role in making that possible.
Okay. Let's circle back to that language recognition thing. I'm still struggling to grasp how an AEM can determine whether a string of zeros and ones belongs to a particular language or not. We talked about using random numbers to encode the rules of the language and storing those rules along with the binary string in registers. But how does the AEM actually apply those rules to the string? What's the process?
It's a beautifully intricate process, but let me try to break it down. The AEM program essentially creates a series of steps, like a recipe, that are executed in a specific order. These steps involve reading information from the registers, both the rules, the language, and the input string, performing calculations based on those rules, and then updating the registers with the results of those calculations.
It's like the AEM is running through a checklist guided by the rules of the language.
That's a good way of thinking about it. And the meta command plays a crucial role here because it allows the AEM to dynamically change those steps to adapt its own program as it's running.
That's what still boggles my mind. It's like the AEM is figuring things out as it goes along rather than just blindly following a pre-programmed set of instructions. But could you give me a more concrete sense of what those steps might look like? What kind of calculations is the AEM actually doing?
Imagine the language we're trying to recognize has a rule that says every valid string must have an even number of ones. The AEM program could have a step that reads the input string one bit at a time from a register. Then it could use other active elements to keep track of how many ones it has encountered so far. If it reaches the end of the string and the count of ones is even, the AEM knows the string belongs to the language, but if the count is odd, it knows the string doesn't fit the rules.
So it's like the AEM is building a little internal counter that keeps track of the ones as it scans through the string. It's amazing how something so complex can be broken down into these smaller, more manageable steps.
Exactly. And what's even more incredible is that the AEM can do all of this in parallel. It's not processing one bit at a time like a traditional computer would. It's potentially analyzing many parts of the string simultaneously.
That parallel processing capability seems to be the AEM's secret weapon. It allows it to do things that would take traditional computers an eternity. But you mentioned earlier that this language recognition stuff has connections to the real world, beyond just abstract binary strings. Can you elaborate on that? What are some of the potential applications of this?
The ability to recognize patterns in language, even in binary form, has a wide range of potential applications. Think about things like natural language processing, where computers try to understand and interpret human language. AEMs could potentially offer a new way to analyze text, identify patterns, and extract meaning.
So, could AEMs help us build better chatbots or improve machine translation? Those are areas where computers still struggle to grasp the nuances of human language.
Absolutely. And it goes beyond just language. Think about any field where pattern recognition is crucial. Things like image analysis, medical diagnosis, or even financial forecasting. AEMs could potentially revolutionize these fields by offering a new, more efficient way to analyze data and identify meaningful patterns.
That's pretty exciting to consider. It sounds like AEMs have the potential to impact a wide range of fields, not just computer science itself. But before we get lost in all the potential applications, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, Ramsey numbers, I'll admit. I'm still fascinated by the idea that AEMs might be able to tackle these incredibly difficult mathematical problems that traditional computers struggle with. You mentioned the paper gives an example of an AEM program that can verify that N3222 equals 6. Can you walk me through how that program actually works? What's going on under the hood?
It's a clever use of the AEM's parallel processing capabilities.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about representing numbers within an AEM using patterns of firing active elements? Well, this program takes that concept a step further and uses active elements to represent the edges of a graph.
Okay, so instead of representing numbers, the active elements are now representing the connections between points in a graph. I'm following so far.
Right. And the program cleverly sets up the connections and thresholds between these active elements so that the overall pattern of firing represents a specific coloring of the graph's edges. Remember, with Ramsey numbers, we're interested in whether a particular coloring contains a monochromatic triangle, meaning all three edges of the triangle are the same color.
Got it. So the pattern of firing active elements tells us how the graph is colored, but how does the AEM actually determine if there's a monochromatic triangle within that coloring? Does it have to check every possible combination of three points?
That's the beauty of it. The AEM doesn't have to check every combination sequentially. It can leverage its parallel processing to essentially check many different combinations at the same time. It's like having thousands of little workers, each assigned to a specific triangle, all looking for that monochromatic pattern simultaneously.
That's a great way to visualize it. It's like the AEM is creating a massive parallel search, which would be impossible for a traditional computer to do efficiently.
Exactly. And while the paper focuses on a relatively simple example, verifying that N3222, it hints at the possibility of using AEMs to tackle much larger and more complex Ramsey number calculations.
That's what's so exciting about this. We're talking about potentially cracking open a whole new realm of mathematical problems that were previously considered intractable. It makes you wonder what other seemingly impossible problems AEMs might be able to solve.
It's a tantalizing thought, isn't it? And it really speaks to the paradigm shift that AEMs represent. We're moving away from the rigid, step-by-step world of traditional computing and entering a new era where computation is more dynamic, more flexible, and potentially far more powerful.
You've definitely given me a lot to think about. But before my brain melts down from information overload, maybe we should shift gears and talk about what this all means. What are the implications of AEMs for the future of computing? Are we on the verge of a revolution?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's one that researchers are actively exploring. But one thing is clear. AEMs are forcing us to rethink our assumptions about what computers are and what they can do.
Well, before we dive into the philosophical implications of all of this, maybe we should take a quick breather. Let's come back and explore the big picture of AEMs and their potential impact on the world.
All right, I've had a few minutes to process everything, and my brain is no longer melting. So let's get back to the big question. What do AEMs mean for the future of computing? Are we really on the verge of a revolution?
It's definitely possible. AEMs are such a radical shift from the traditional von Neumann architecture.
Yeah.
You know, that's been the dominant paradigm for so long.
Right. We've been talking about all these incredible things AEMs might be capable of, but where does the research actually stand right now? What are some of the unanswered questions that scientists are still trying to figure out? Well, one of the most fundamental questions is just how powerful AEMs really are. The paper we've been discussing shows that they're at least as powerful as Turing machines, which is the theoretical model behind all our current computers.
Okay, so that means, in theory, anything a traditional computer can do, an AEM could do too.
Exactly. But what's really exciting is that AEMs might be capable of even more. Their inherent parallelism and the fact that they're time-driven, those features suggest that AEMs could potentially compute things that are beyond the reach of Turing machines.
Wow. That would be a total game changer. What areas of AEM research are people most excited about right now?
There's a lot of interest in using AEMs to model biological systems, which makes sense given that they were inspired by the brain in the first place.
Yeah.
Researchers are looking at how AEMs could help us understand things like neural networks, learning, and maybe even consciousness.
That's getting into some pretty deep philosophical territory. Are there any more practical applications for AEMs on the horizon?
Oh, definitely. Think about areas where parallel processing is really important, like image recognition, natural language processing, even things like weather forecasting. AEMs could be so much faster than traditional computers in these areas.
It's pretty amazing to think that a machine inspired by biology could end up powering some of the most advanced technologies of the future.
I agree. It really shows the power of interdisciplinary thinking, you know, drawing inspiration from unexpected places. Who knows what other groundbreaking ideas are out there if we just look beyond our usual ways of thinking.
That's a great point. It feels like we've just started to explore this topic. Are there any resources for our listeners who want to learn more about AEMs and stay up to date on the latest research?
Well, the original paper by Michael Fisk is a great starting point. It explains the basic concepts and gives some interesting examples, like the ones we've been talking about. We'll be sure to link to that in the show notes. There are also a bunch of research groups around the world actively working on AEMs and developing new applications. We'll include links to some of those groups, too, so listeners can dive even deeper into this fascinating field.
That's awesome. Well, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into the world of active element machines. It's definitely been an incredible journey. We've learned about a whole new way of thinking about computation, inspired by the human brain. We've seen how AEMs, with their parallel processing power and self-modifying programs, might be able to solve problems that traditional computers can't even touch. And we've glimpsed a future where AEMs could transform fields from artificial intelligence to medicine, to maybe even our understanding of the universe itself. It really makes you wonder, if the human brain can do such incredible things, what's possible with machines designed to work like it? Could AEMs be the key to a new era of computing? one that blurs the lines between artificial and natural intelligence. That's something to ponder. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive of a Sendex.